Welcome to Radio Linguistica today, which is a Tuesday as usual. We are very happy to have with us our Deputy Director General, Christos Elinides. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, country. Good afternoon to all the listeners. And I am so happy to be here. It's a pleasure to be here again.
Thank you for, you have come also to talk about pretty much the core business of DG Translation, of course, because there was a recent decision by DG Translation to keep something which is very significant for our translators, which is the work rate. This is nothing new in DGT, but you have decided to keep it unchanged, and it has been unchanged for a while. What is this indicator work rate? I'm trying to be naive there because we are so very much aware of productivity. What is it used for? Is it a way to measure? Is it a way to monitor? Is it individual or is it a collective rate?
Thank you, Catherine. It's a very good question. It's not a naive question. It's a good question to start the chat and set the premise of what follows. Well, while the work rate itself is a, what we call a KPI, a key performance indicator, its actual use as a reference value represents the evolution of, like you said, of a collective effort over time of DGT's internal translation capacity. During the last DM on January 11, we have adopted the reference value for the next 2 years. And once more, as described during the meeting and in the discussion for what it is a reference value that reflects the long-term trend of the work rate indicator, which takes into account demand, staffing levels, outsourcing, and productivity gains. Now, while the work ratio varies between language departments and over time, fluctuating, in fact, marginally above or below the reference value, in reality, it serves the purpose of tracking an entity's, and by entity, I mean either a unit or a department or a directorate and overall DGT. So it serves the purpose of tracking an entity's average performance per person and day. So in short, it is a reference value that covers the whole of DGT and can be used to demonstrate, like you already implied, to demonstrate the production capacity of DGT.
That was very clear. I think you've clarified a number of things just in these few words. So we understand it's a complex value, a complicated value, to put it in other words. It's still very ambitious, if I'm right, considering that this value was 5 pages, something 1 page in 2001 and 6 page 7 in 2010. So the 8 pages is an average, as you explained, but how do you explain this huge rise in productivity, and what is counted in this productivity rate?
Well, before I get there, let me also address the initial part of your question regarding a little bit of the history. This work rate as an indicator goes back, in fact, as you mentioned, a long time. Initially, it was introduced in 2010 as a work rate benchmark, and it followed an internal audit which was performed in 2009, if I believe. So DGT followed the internal audit recommendation and introduced this indicator. But the concept of the work rate as a reference value, and there is a difference between the reference value and the indicator, was introduced actually only in 2016. And this was introduced after reflection, discussion with colleagues in DGT. And then all we decided that the work rate should enable DGT, in fact, to estimate our overall capacity, combined, like I said before, with estimates on demand, and estimate our long-term needs for resources, always with the objective, of course, to preserve the sustainability and cost effectiveness. Now, what is it made up of? Okay, it's like you said, a complex indicator. It's not a very straightforward indicator. And I may take longer to answer this question than expected, but I want to give you all the dimensions because it is important. Actually, the composition and the definition of the reference value is in line with the rest of the translation services at an interinstitutional level. It's part of what we call the definition of KIABIS, the key indicators that all institutions adopt. So the definition and the composition of the reference value is agreed by all, so that we talk the same language and we're on the same page when we talk about this value. Now, the first element that needs to be clear is, and you mentioned, I think, the element of the page. Huh? Is that correct, Catherine?
Yes, yes. I think.
So let's start with that parameter, because I heard many times in DGT, what is a page? Huh? Many people know what is a page. But I think it is important to repeat that for us and at an interinstitutional level, a page consists of 1,500 characters without counting the spaces in between. And of course you hear a page is not a page and similar phraseology, because translating a page full of, say, complex scientific details is not the same as translating a page loaded with titles or of regulations or codes. So this means that the degree of difficulty varies from document to document. But taken overall, a statistically significant period, like 1 year, the easy and difficult translations sort of balance out. Therefore, the concept of a page equivalent was introduced to reflect the time effort put also into the revision or review of translations. And maybe we can come back to it a little bit later on. So what the other elements that one can say are included in this indicator? It reflects actually two indicators. First, it reflects the number of pages, as I have explained, that have been translated over a given period per working day. And this is a simple, straight, automatic, arithmetic division of the pages translated in-house in any given entity and in DGT as a whole by the number of available person days. So the number of pages translated in-house by the number of available person days, meaning that we deduct, for example, in person days, we deduct absences due to annual or sick leave, training, and we take care of work pattern corrections and so on. At the same time, however, so the indicator, like you said, is not so simple. It's composite. It's not only the, doesn't only take care of the translated pages in the stricto sense, but it also reflects the number of pages that have been quality controlled. But this part of the indicator is a bit more complex, this element, maybe not part, because it includes quality control of both internal and external translations, so the number of pages revised or reviewed in relation to the evaluation of external translations. It depends on the manual registration of the revision and review activities by the language units and departments. And finally, it is represented in the form of page equivalents, since we do not count exact pages, but rather the effort when we are counting quality control, we count the effort in relation to translation work. For this, a coefficient has been agreed among all institutions, which basically says that 4 revised pages equal 1 translated page, or in another way, or put in the other way around, 1 translated page equals about a quarter, 0.25 revised pages. These two indicators, therefore, translation and quality control, comprises the total or global work rate. And that is the elements of this composite reference value.
Can I repeat that? So it concerns internal activities, whether translation production, revision, not external production, but it does include the work that in-house resources devote to quality control of external translation.
Of both. The quality control involved in both internal and external translations. So no. The aspect of quality control as a numerical element in the work rate includes any quality control work on behalf of our staff, both for internal translations and external translations.
That is very clear. Now, if I want to refine further, I know there's a lot of work, for example, preparing documents, text references for freelancers, that is outsourced production. Is this in this page count?
The preparation,
terminology.
I would think that that is another element that it implies a difficult element to identify in terms of quantification. So the preparatory work, I think we should assume that it is included in the translation, either in the translation element of this composite reference value or of the quality control. But in direct response, we don't have a specific element in the reference value related to what you have just said.
So, contrary to the image that our colleague Conrad is showing, it is not, and maybe Conrad will correct me, and you may correct me, it is not a question of going ahead on or heading off the motorway of quality, but it's keeping or trying to keep an eye on both together.
I think it's very clear that it is exactly what you said. Is if I take the slide from Conrad, I wouldn't show the arrow going right in terms of quantity. They are both taken into consideration, as I have explained, because we do take care with a numerical value related to quality control work, like I said, both for internal and external translations. And we also take into account the quantity because we take the number of translated pages in relation to the available translator days over a period of time. So the quantity is the latter part of what I have explained, and the quality is the former part I explained.
Well, what I want to show with this picture is there is a certain tension between quality on one hand and quantity on the other. It's quite easy to measure quantity. It's much more difficult to measure quality. So I often hear from translators, so we are only judged on the pages we made, but not on the efforts to produce quality. So how would we better integrate the factor of quality?
You're right. You're right, Conrad. And it is not an easy question, and therefore the answer cannot be straightforward. What we try to do again, because remember, we are operating in an interinstitutional environment with a number of other translation services, and we try to align the reference values indicators that we use, so that when we are looking at each other, we are speaking the same language. Therefore, the only, I think, way that it was approachable is to try one way or another to inject some quantification to the element of quality. You are right that this is a very difficult thing to do. But what we arrived at is that, like I said, a common agreement that we will take into account quality efforts by, I wouldn't say assuming or supposing, but by accepting, commonly accepting at an interinstitutional level, that the effort required to translate 4 pages is equivalent to the effort required of doing quality control for 1 page. So we had to put some quantification to the element of quality in order to take into account that quality element in the work rate. And the only way we could do it is to approach it in this way I described, with the 0.25 coefficient introduced in the composite, if you like, reference value. I'm not saying that this is the 100% absolute ideal way of taking into account quality efforts, but at least the intention to include it that we had from the beginning was agreed amongst all partners within translation service in the GTN beyond. And we have included it using a numerical approach, a quantitative approach, because like very rightly you said, quantity is easy to measure. Therefore, we had to complement the element of quality, approaching it in a quantitative way too. And that's why we were a little bit driven into this path of calculating, although I know it is not fully perhaps precise, it comes close to a precision that we can have in calculating the work rate. Because remember, it is not anymore an indicator for benchmarking on anything. It is a reference value. That's even why we have softened the definition from a rate benchmark to a reference value, exactly for what you have just asked, Conrad, on the element of quality, because you cannot be 100% absolutely precise in calculating this element. We softened it up, and we are using it as a reference value.
Now, if I may go, well, to another point beyond this difficult issue of quality. Of course, quality is quality, but we know that this average, this reference value, which is an average, actually covers a huge amount of variations across linguistic departments, across periods. I'm just having in mind the preparation of the multi-annual financial framework, which sent all translators away from their holidays and weekends and so on. So huge variations across language departments, across the period, for example, 1 year. Can you give us an idea of what how you can monitor these variations? And what do you see of them? I mean, how do you track them? How do you analyze these variations? And I imagine 8 pages was, well, in June, was it 2018?
Yes.
I suspect the number of pages were way above that.
Yeah. This is a very interesting question and very valid question, because, of course, there are variations in the various language departments. And they are not only variations because of seasonality, they are also variations due to the structural composition of the departments. For example, I take some examples. Because of the specific portfolio of the English department, that department has been outsourcing over 50 and over 60% of its production for many years, while other departments stayed around 30 or 35%, because, for instance, demand and internal staffing situations differ between procedural and non-procedural language departments. So that is one aspect of the reasons for variations, but also even within non-procedural language departments, we have variations. For example, demand for translation into Spanish and Italian and staffing levels tend to be around 10% higher, based on the data we have, than most other language departments. But, like I said, other variants come into play that introduce the differentiation, which I repeat, it's marginally above or below. We are not talking about extreme variances. We have some outliers in certain periods of time in terms of work rates by certain departments. But for the most time, these variances are marginally fluctuating, oscillating above and below the reference value. Other elements that come into play that are the cause of these variations is, of course, the availability of staff at a particular point in time in a particular language department. Work patterns, absences, trainings is important to recognize and acknowledge that they contribute to the variances. Specific competences within a language department that maybe we have more competence, thematic competence, or other competences in specific language departments, again, at a particular point in time, because people leave, retire, we recruit new people, it takes time to bring them up to speed and so on, also introduce an element of variance. The use of machine translation, another perhaps reason that one can argue that it can cause some variance. Machine translation can be a better utilized in certain language combinations than others. Problems with the freelance quality. We have different markets that we are using, and therefore we may receive, although we have a strict measure which brings harmonization, traceability, transparency, and if you like, we like to keep the quality of freelance translations to the same level, we cannot, of course, say that it is for all of the departments at the same level. So all of these are elements that contribute to this differentiation among language departments.
Now, maybe thank you for explaining briefly the fact that we are not working in a vacuum, but we are also in a general market for language, the language industries, and translation. Now, regarding fluctuations, could you give us, or variances, as you call them? Do you remember a recent alert? I mentioned the MFF. The multi-annual financial framework as a total emergency period. COVID, of course, is another unexpected, unprecedented period. Do you see an impact on that, or do we, as a public service, have the capacity to absorb these enormous shocks in one way, in demand or in, yes?
Very timely question, and through the period that we are going through. But of course, the Brexit, and it was not the only file during this period that we had to deal with. That we had other urgent files because, like you said, of COVID that have introduced elements of fluctuation of the reference. The impact of COVID is difficult to distinguish, actually. If we take a look at the most recent statistical data, for example, the last 12-month period, starting so that we have a whole period from November 19 to October 2020, the work rate jumped from 7.5 pages per translator's day to 8.5. But that was not only due to the Brexit package, like I said. It was also due to other important files that we had to deliver in November and December of 2020, which were either related to COVID or not. A comparison, if we want to have a comparison, and I know we're running a little bit out of time, so I will try to be fast, but a comparison between the first three full months of the coronavirus crisis, so April, May, and June, with the same period, April, May, June of 2019, actually only shows a marginal difference for the work rate. We went from 7.8 to from 7.5 to 7.8, while the production was indeed 14%, close to 14, 15% higher because of the corona-related fines. Now, also take into consideration that because of that crisis, however, we had more available person days because colleagues did not take their leave during the period because of lockdowns. Overall, we cannot make any predictions, as the indicator depends mainly on the evolution of demand, the internal staffing, and outsourcing levels, and of course, the element of technology. If you look at the evolution from 2012 to 2013, when the work rate made a relatively big leap compared to previous years from and went over 7 pages per translator day, the figure fluctuates, like I said, regularly, year after year, but it has always been roughly between 7.5 to 8.5. And the reference value shows the average over time, usually 2 or 4 years, to exclude short-term variations. So when we're calculating it, we do take into consideration solid and relatively long periods of time to make sure that we avoid these short-term variations and fluctuations. So hypothetically, if we follow that pattern and if other indicators do not reach extreme levels, we may see a level of around 7.5, I believe, 7.5 to 8, I believe, again, at the end of 2021. But I won't be very rigid about it because the commission does have, this commission and this college does have an ambitious work program.
Indeed. And of course, we very much hope the resources stay with us and are renewed as well, but this is not in our hands, even not yours, as Deputy Director General in charge of the Translation Directorate in DG Translations. Thank you very much. It's run away like this, I mean, this exchange. There's a lot more to discuss. I hope we get another chance in one way or another. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Catherine, Conrad, and I am available for anything else you want. It was a pleasure to talk about this subject today here.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.